Our work day is tomorrow because I wanted to have a day where I speak with monks a bit and then have tea time together, the monks, novices, and pakaos, which leaves the lay guests extra, and it's probably so one of the things that in Nana Chat one has to be kind of able to look after oneself to a certain level. The lay women even more so, because we don't have so much contact. It is the same in Wat Phapong and many places, where more or less the understanding is like you can only be explained that much, but like eventually, even if you only have little information and you apply yourself to it, it can be very fruitful. If you use the facilities, the place, and the infrastructure and the form that we have, well, it's almost like a guarantee that it will have an effect on oneself. And I remember when I came, I was always kind of keen on getting extra teachings as well. And it's just kind of, I think I was one of the pakaos, like Ajahn Jayasawa said, like, you're the one that asks most. And kind of thinking it was like, you know, in the Western upbringing, if a child asks a lot of things, the mother thinks, yeah, great, this is going to be a clever guy. Whereas in Thailand, it's like a bit different. You think, huh, why does he always ask? Can't he see for himself? You know, can't he figure it out? You know, it's obvious, isn't it? You just do what you're told to, and you do what everybody does. And you'll understand, don't worry, it'll come. And in a way, that's true as well. I mean, both ways are kind of valid. To look after oneself in a way where one generally feels like, yeah, like I'm given the freedom, and I've got the parameters, and I'll take it into my hands to quietly do what is needed and develop my situation. That's something that we're not so used to, but like it's a good thing to learn. Say there may be situations where you're not even being considered present in a situation. Say you're kind of in a say on that opportunity that a big teacher or so comes. They sometimes even make a point of ignoring you, especially if you want to be super prominent. People sense that somebody wants to be in the center or wants to ask something. They just look away. They just don't let you. There's something about it to make oneself humble and make oneself kind of somebody who's nobody, disappearable. Like say, act as if he wasn't there. Say when you speak with some of the teachers, they would never look at you or so, and you wouldn't look at them. That would mean you're making yourself too important. Say eye contact, and in the West, it's absolutely crucial for a healthy communication. You have to read the facial expressions, and you have to be emotionally expressing your needs and things like that. And the other one has to kind of say, yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and yeah, I understand your needs, and so. So Asian culture is kind of different. What I find is important is that we really realize for ourselves that the teachings of the Buddha, they're actually very simple, and they're actually very present already in a lot of things. And it's not the amount of information and not the amount of contact, but the quality that we apply ourselves to these situations. Sometimes one really sees it, like say, sometimes one has these eye-opening little experiences where a simple teaching suddenly makes sense. And you really kind of think, wow, that's it, you know, and you feel uplifted with it, and it carries you all through the day. Whereas other days, you read books and books, and you kind of go through the library or whatever, the bookshelf, or like you try to grasp it somehow, or like kind of take it on cognitively, and it won't get there. But like, whenever things are kind of in place, and the attitude is right, and oneself has got the mindfulness that one needs to pick up on the atmosphere, situation, the things that are in the air, then actually many times without words and without much of a kind of like background, you suddenly start realizing, yeah, that's it. That's what they're trying to do all the time. It is the the sustainable, more sustainable way, just to gradually kind of work oneself through the situations and just observing, tuning in, being helpful, rather than going two steps ahead and kind of superimposing, if I were to do this, if I were to do that, would that have an effect? Can you recommend me? Say, can you recommend me something? Can you recommend me something for me, for my situation? And you end up explaining your situation half an hour, and the teacher barely's got 5 minutes to answer to your situation. Sometimes it's really like that. Questions and answers. There's one we had, like, on even on Siddhi, a group from abroad visiting, I think, Ajahn Anand. And there's one question. It's about like 10 minutes long. It's just kind of, I really like Tanajan to understand where I'm coming from, when I practice this and that, it's like this, and then in, from my angle, you know, I've been practicing with that and that Dhamma, but you know, whenever I'm in this and that mind state, that and that comes up, and then Ajahn Anand answers just like maybe 2-3 sentences, maybe will be just a, yeah, keep going. And you can say, great, he approved of all my story, it's actually okay. But sometimes there's a frustration, you know, you want to hear more, and then you get more secret dhammas and tailor-sized for you, and you know, your little own personal history or your little own, like, kind of whatever kind of screwed up situation you want to have. More or less, you want empathy and you want compassion tailor-sized for you. And then you get the template answer, yeah, keep going. You could have said that to anybody, even to you know, somebody who hasn't got any problems, you could say the same. So it's kind of neutralized, and you can imagine in the long run that kind of thing does reduce the sense of self quite a bit if one can take it and integrate it and really humbly think, yeah, actually my story, I've been telling it, but actually it wasn't so great after all. And yeah, everything is impermanent. That's another answer you might simply get. Yeah, keep going, everything's impermanent. This too will change. And you think, oh man, as if I haven't heard that. And so, yeah, like, at the same time, sometimes, you know, it is good to get the background of some of the things that appear here in the monastery. Say, a classical thing is the Vinaya things that we do. They do kind of intuitively feel odd to many of us, because we're not used to keeping certain rules to the letter, and it's also not the culture that we grew up with, and we don't have that inbuilt respect for the form. Like, if you were born in Thailand as a little kid, you'd already be looking up to the great monks in the orange robe, so more or less, like, you'd kind of already be inclined to think, yeah, what they're doing has got huge amount of integrity and it's a model for everybody. Whereas we come here, like, more or less we choose from many systems. Like, you could have also gone to a Zen monastery, you could have gone to a Tibetan monastery, you could have gone to a lay center, you could have gone to a kind of freestyle practice place where there's no form, or where people don't pay attention to the Vinaya. So more or less, like, there's like, there has to be some kind of, like, certain kind of background and backing up why you're here and why this works, and so try to provide that, but not all the time. So many times it's just kind of slowing people down with the ambitions. I really want to know now. And say, those that can wait, they'll get it some point. Those that can't wait, they'll run around frantically finding more and more answers to the lengthy questions. So if there's a day when there's nothing happening, actually not much teachings, then recollect the teachings that you already have, or the very simple ones, like, everything's not sure, or like, oh, this too will change. Just keep a little kind of mantra in your head and carry it around without adding much to it, and do it all day long, and test your proliferating mind whether it can kind of come back to that particular simple truth, and be realizing how it affects you during the day without much of brain work around it. And no need to write it down in a diary, no need to judge it, just take it as it is. And so no need to post your experiences anywhere, upload anything, just kind of like let it sink in. So that's a valid practice in a forest monastery. Basically the life here keeps going on and on and on and on. It's not much to be expected. If you want to be kind of having a highlight, and so then the highlight should be just kind of really emphasizing the things that are going to take you a long way out of your own initiative on the spot, in the present moment. Understand that this too will change. This is impermanent right here and now. So you can do that any day, either before the meal or after the meal, or before drink or after the drink, or before the evening meeting or after the evening meeting, while you're doing it anyway, you know, so it's just plenty of opportunity. So actually there's not much need to take you by the hand and just kind of pull you around and look at this, and this is why we do this, and this is why we do that. You might be actually blocked by all the words to realize the simple things. So that's a wada for today.